You do that again with just slightly less on the Wurlick.
Yeah, it was a proper swirl.
Yeah, that's it, which is fine in the show because it's
that whirlpool wife.
In the summer of 2017, we produced a live version of the play Duke Maraud, which is mostly lost. We only have fragments of the play remaining. We don't know whether this play has been performed by anyone in the last 500-odd years. We decided it was important to work our way through the text and record our thoughts and ideas for future performers, anyone else who's thinking of doing something with this fragmentary text.
Don't worry about in the next speech doing the fonding,
yes.
Fondling bit,
keep it as it is. Yeah.
As it is.
Okay.
There isn't, as far as we are aware, a comprehensive modern commentary on the piece, so we've decided to try and fill in the gaps. The recording you'll be listening to, edited with excerpts from other recordings of the text, is of myself, Robert Crichton, as the adapter and director of the production, and with Simon Nader, who played the Duke. In the live stage version, he played the Duke as Donald Trump, but we don't suggest that that's an approach everyone else should take. The play really is quite surprising. For those who know other morality plays, you expect something which is very serious, sombre in tone, occasional comic moments, maybe even physical violence, but you don't expect something that deals quite so heavily on incest and murder. In fact, we suggested that possibly the playwright got a little too involved in some of his fantasies and the ability to perform them on stage as a form of moral edification. It's very difficult, of course, to make any absolute or firm comments about precisely what Duke Maraud would have been like, because we have so little of the original text. However, hopefully these speculations will be found useful.
So, we've been working on the fragments of Duke Maraud now for better part of a month, on and off.
Yeah.
Considering that there's only about 10 minutes of text surviving. So, the play that survives to us is made up of about 20 speeches, of which, for this production, we've been doing in a Donald Trump-esque style, because it was sort of fun, and it fitted surprisingly well.
What a great turnout, really. Really. More people than if Obama was here. Believe me. Alright. Emperors and kings, begin.
But I mean, the play opens with a speech, and I'll ask Simon to read this as we go along. We'll sort of talk about it, stop and start a bit. But it opens with a sort of traditional medieval opening, which is, shut up. Yeah, it's saying to the audience, shut up. It's flattering people of all stations. It's covering all the bases. We could probably assume that there would actually be some local dignitaries. But I don't imagine, I mean, it lists. If you could just do those that first paragraph or so, you don't have to act it too much. But it lists quite a few potential audience members here.
It's kind of like the early version of Cabaret. Anyone here from out of town?
Yeah.
Anyone here from New York? Try the chicken. Emperors and kings be kenned, earls and barons bold, bachelors and knights to mend, squires and yeomen to hold.
Yes, so it could be yeomen as in yeoman. We stuck with what as was writ.
Mm. Knaves and pages to send, so perfect that aren't to be sold. I pray you, lordings, so hend, know ye anglings, ye make in this fold today.
I do love ye anglings.
I like a yangle.
It's so onomatopoeic, isn't it? People
it is.
Yangling in the audience, talking and just shut up.
Which is why it works with Trump, of course.
Yeah, it works.
Know
well.
Ye anglings.
I pray you, lordings, so hend, so near. It's making contact almost with the audience. And the question is how much in character you are at this point, because these first two paragraphs are in character, but that first paragraph is actually, it's not. It's more a general be shush.
Mm.
But it then moves into something that is very much in character and very much part of the play. But very much like a Herod introduction in a mystery play.
When we were rehearsing, actually, and before we really nailed down the idea of it being like a presidential address, it helped me just to picture just a medieval hall, kind of like a Game of Thrones type thing, if I'm honest. A despot just saying, I'll treat you nice if you treat me nice, otherwise I'll kill you.
Continue. As you are lovely.
Thank you. Oh, you mean
he flatters the audience as well. I mean, that's the other thing. It's drawing people in. It's saying shut up.
Yeah.
But there's also a certain level of charm,
which I will now demonstrate. As ye are lovely in face, set you all seemly in place, and I shall, without fallacy, show reasons here to your pay.
Now, we made a slight distortion to the text there. The original, I shall without fallace. It's falseness, deception, and it should rhyme with place. But because we had pay, and it sort of means fallacy, it was a cheat, but it sort of... It changed the rhyming scheme rather than three rhymes in a row and then the pay rhyming with today earlier. He now talks more about himself rather than the audience in the second stanza.
Wealth I wield at my will. In word, I am known full wide. I have heart and hind upon hill. I am gay on ground for to glide. Seemly there I sit upon sill, my wife and my men by my side. I command you, attend my till, or else I shall bait your pride with dint. And therefore I warn you together that you make neither crying nor beer. If you do, without endwear, strokes at you shall I mint.
It's very much, he starts, wealth. I've got lots of money.
Yeah.
Everyone knows who I am. In word, I am known full wide. So your word travels far and wide.
Exactly.
You've got access to hunting. You have hart and hind, deer.
Lots of land,
upon the
of
hill.
Course.
Yeah, so you can go out and hunt, which, of course, common people wouldn't necessarily be able to do. Mm-hmm. And you are very happy in the situation. You are gay on ground for to glide,
absolutely,
which is lovely.
I have everything.
He
everything.
Does.
Everything.
And he
Trump,
sits there. He probably has some kind of throne, sit upon sill.
Yeah.
His wife and his men by his side. And then I command you, attend my till, attend my speech, or else. And then he gets to the threats. He's gone back to, please shut up, or I will bait your pride with dint, with violence. You know, you can hear it as you hit someone over the head, the helmet going,
dang! And the funny thing is, we go straight into charm almost straight away afterwards.
And therefore I warn you together. Now, we changed that from in fear, which is sort of, the meaning is essentially there, so I slightly changed the word. So I warn you in fear, so I warn you together, that you make neither crying nor beer. Now, nor beer, it should be noise.
Mm.
You haven't played it so much on the... Because they usually have beer, actually. Literal beer. We toyed with the idea that we'd just distort the meaning of the word in the production because it's a fringe show and there's likely to be audience members with beer in their hand. So it's basically... It could read in our context of, you know, make no noise or don't drink.
Yeah.
Just put the drinks down. And I say, he goes back to the threats. If you don't shut up, I will hurt you. Strokes at you, I shall mint. I shall mint strokes. I really like that as a phrase.
And then
he tells us who he is, which is nice.
It's kind of polite, really, isn't it?
Which gives us the title for the play. I mean, this is the thing. We don't know what the play is actually called. It's called Duke Maraud because all we have is the character of Duke Maraud surviving. So...
Duke Maraud, I hold by name, courteouser lord, maybe none. Will far than reignant my fame to be commonly crowned from one.
So he's Duke Maraud, I am called by name, Hote, called. I do like Hote, that's really nice.
I like Hote as well.
Courteouser
I
lord.
Actually
I also like
courteouser,
you know, not just courteous, I'm courteouser lord. Will far than reignant my fame is a bit of a tricksy line. My fame... extends, that reigns far and wide. Then we hit some dialogue which is really difficult to get across. It doesn't quite translate very well, but anyway, give it a crack.
First line I quite like.
The first line is very straightforward. He's, you like bribing people. It's
and
great.
It goes very downhill, very much downhill.
Yeah.
I give good gifts with game and save each lording for a phone.
From enemies. So you save the people underneath you from their enemies. You have overarching power, which is important in a leader. So that's not a bad thing.
Me bowen both wild and tame, whether so they riden or gone or ship.
So you tend to... the people underneath submit to you, whether they're wild or tame and whether they're...
Everyone,
they're travelling around,
everyone.
So whether they riden or they go by ship. So wherever anyone is in your sphere of influence, you have control. That's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult to make that line work because it doesn't quite flow or function in a way we would understand.
Which is why, again...
In a different universe, we'd cut it.
Getting people to tune into this is, of course, the trick, as with anything.
Yeah, and it's very early in the play.
Yeah.
So it's a tricksy one.
Exactly.
This is the first really tricky bit of dialogue where transferring meaning is tough. Anyway, last four lines, very straightforward.
I am doughty indeed. I am worthy in weed. I am seemly in steed. No villainy to me will I keep.
Again, it's pride, and pride is a big theme. It's very similar to the opening Pride of Life, the King of Life coming on and saying how important and great he is and how strong he is. So it was saying we struggled in the early rehearsals to get across was the fact that he's saying, no villainy to me will I keep. And you might take that on face value and think, oh, no, he's a strong leader, he's a good man. The reason we chose Donald Trump was because when he comes on and says, you know, no villainy to me will I keep. I look at me, I look great, I'm fantastic, I've got lots of money. It is pride, and to demonstrate that, doing it Trump-wise was really good.
Absolutely.
I am doughty indeed, I am worthy in weed. I am seemly in steed. No villainy to me will I keep.
So anyway, at this point in the play, the wife would have said to him that she's going off on a journey. And so he does a fairly straightforward, off you go, come home soon, really.
Dame, do now thy will, thy voyage to fulfil. To thee will I be bane. For love, I thee pray, wrap thee fast in thy way, and come home soon again.
I mean, and again, most of this is pretty straightforward. Do thy will, voyage to fulfil. To thee I will be bane, so bound. I am bound to you in marriage. You know, I will obey you. You love her. Wrap thee fast in thy way. Hasten, rapidly return. That's where the rap comes from. And come home soon again. There's obviously another exchange, and she sort of extracts a firmer promise, which we've made more of an oath using
a
an actual...
solemn
promise with an actual Bible.
Through the grace of that ich king that formed us all with win, I shall me keep from fonding, and also from blame and sin with grace.
It is an exhortation to God from that ich king, that same king, the king over everyone, even above me. He promises, he makes a solemn promise that he's going to be good.
Jesu, as thou me wrought, and with wounds sore me bought, save me from wicked thoughts, Jesu, fair in face.
Save me from wicked thoughts, Jesu, fair in face. It's all pretty straightforward.
One would assume that the fact that she goes through these various ways to try and get him to say that, of course, I'll be good,
there's
that'll be nice.
So much back and forth on this section.
He's clearly he's having
form.
It away with,
he's
with,
got
with ladies.
Form. Anyway, finally, she goes, and he says his final line. It's like he's almost, he goes from, the number of his speeches get shorter, as it's like she gets further away, and then it's sort of this final, farewell.
it's like just being on the end of the phone, and just like, yep, okay, so, bye, see you then. Bye.
Farewell, my...
But this is a much nicer word. Wurlich.
Wurlich.
Farewell, my Wurlich wife.
Which, again, has a wonderful quality on the tongue, and we didn't change it. We sort of put in an explanation, beautiful, he sort of asks me what it means.
Farewell, my Wurlich. Wurlich?
Beautiful.
I like that, it's good, huh? Pretty nice. Farewell, my Wurlich wife! Farewell, love.
But we couldn't remove that, and it's again, it's very trite. It's a trite goodbye, but it's a very trite little. There's little four lines: farewell, farewell, fare thou, and it is very trite. But I think that is deliberate. It's sort of he's just pushing her out the door. Bye. You said you're going. Are you gone? Are you gone? Yeah. Then he goes and visits his daughter.
All so, straightforward so far.
And he then delivers this extraordinary speech.
Hold on to your hands.
Cracks through it relatively quick.
Maiden, so lovely and comely of sight, I pray thee for love thou wilt listen to me. To hear my reason, I pray thee well tight. Love, so dear and me must show to thee. My love to thy body is cast in so bright. My will me must have of thee.
Arr. And that's only halfway through the speech. We changed tithe because sight was also scythe, so we sort of modernised that. Trite doesn't really quite translate in the modern sense, but it sort of works. It's such a contrast, the immediate lust for his own daughter. You compare it with dialogue to his wife, it's all dame, you know.
I respect. For
keep me from fonding, you know, God. And then immediately you just go to your daughter, and it's maiden. So lovely, and it's really quite horrible.
Thou art lovely to lecken, and brightest with right. I love thee in thought, thou seemly of blee, by name.
Couple of words in there. So, thou art lovely to lecken, it's likened to look at. We changed it to licken.
Yeah, to be really disgusting.
Just to be really disgusting, we're sorry for that. Thou art seemly of blee, colour. colour of rosy cheeks, the colour in her face. We never really explained to the audience Blee. We just sort of got on with it. Such a disgusting sort of section. This next little bit has little moments where it's slightly difficult to get the meaning across, so we'll just rattle through this and see how it comes.
Thou maiden that moorest thy mirths with might.
I love that, moorest. It's not just moor. It's nice. Moorest. Increases. Thou maiden that moorest thy mirths with might. And again, lots of alliteration tripping in. And we have a bit more in the next line. My favourite first word here.
It is your favourite, isn't it? Okay.
Dark.
I'll try and.
It means
really,
dark, I'll but you can hear it immediately.
I'll try and give you a great deal of moorest pleasure in this line. Okay. Dern. Oh, that was nice.
Dern deeds. Dark deeds.
We must do by day and by night.
I've got a note here that I've changed the we. I think it might be me in the original.
Mm.
I think I changed it to we because I thought it made it more clear to the audience that he wants to have sex with her rather than
he's just
me must do by day and night, which suggests a slightly different sexual act, which came across as a bit weird. Anyway, next two lines, slightly more tricksy.
By thee worthiest wound and withest wit, by thee worthiest wound and withest wit, this sooth tale I tell without any blame.
Yeah, so this, by thee he wants to wind, encompass, wound and, and it's all of that he said before is true. Mm. And he
and
has
he doesn't
no
feel bad about
he doesn't
it, yeah.
feel bad about it at all. The thing, the wound and winding, the image of winding around things turns up a lot.
Mm.
What happens between this and the next bit is she accepts his enthusiastic advances.
Who saw that coming?
So the Duke is very happy. My fear, so gracious and grace, so my love, fear, love. Fear is one of these words that means so many different things depending on the context where it's used. In this context, it means love.
So
and you, know, you and exhort
grace.
Her to think.
Think. Thou shalt have enough of me.
Imagine that we're going to have sex.
Mm. And then, of course, there's a bit of flattery there as well.
So. Oh, yeah, followed immediately by...
For thou art lovely in face, and thereto bright bearing of... There's that word again. Blee.
Yeah, thereto bright... And in, it's berend, but it's bearing. Bearing, so end can be an... Can be an ing, so bright.
English rogue.
Yes, that she has a beautiful face. She has a wonderful, they're lovely in face with beautiful colour in her cheeks.
Mm.
Lots of repetition. You know, kiss me now, paramour.
In place, yes.
Thou art worthy to see in sight. So he goes back to the we should kiss, but you're still so beautiful. Mm. It's like you can't, you keep wanting to look at her.
Yeah.
My fear, so gracious in grace, think. Thou shalt have one of me, for thou art lovely in face, and thereto bright berend of blee. Now will I make an solace, for my dear in love shalt thou be. Kiss me now, paramour, in place, also thou art worthy to see and sight. Damsel, fairest of fun, also thou art seemly to stand. Wrap we us to winden in hand to thy chamber that is so lovely of light.
The also, there's two alsos where it's almost like he's trying to slow himself down, you could read.
He's
which,
trying to justify it
yeah,
to himself.
Yeah,
you
kiss
know,
me
kiss
now,
me now.
Paramour in place. Also thou art worthy to see.
Yeah,
inside.
Like you push her yeah. back. And also thou art seemly to stand. It's that thing of, again, putting her on a pedestal, distancing her. She is so gorgeous. Mm. Look at my hot daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, literally,
wrap we us to wind and in hand to thy chamber. That is so lovely of light.
So take my hand, dear, and let's go and do it. So there we have the first big, presumably, gap in the play. It may not actually be in stage time very much happens here. It might just literally be they go off stage and the wife comes on and makes a very long speech about how she's come back early. There's a similar thing in Pride of Life, actually. Everyone exits and then the messenger speaks to the priest and there's a long speech and it just breaks up time.
Mm.
And I would suggest that actually there's no... Almost certainly there isn't a subplot. She's returned and she sees them having it off in the other room.
Yeah.
And
we'll find it later, long enough for something.
Yes.
To advance the plot further.
Yes, well. So he then talks to his daughter about what to do about his wife who's packing her bags and is presumably going to go off and tell everyone. So he's quite unhappy. And here we get the first... This whole section, a lot of repetition of certain words that you love and hate.
Mm.
We've got a question about wounden because it's Wanden. I am Wanden in Great Dollar.
We made it Wounden in Great Dollar.
He's wounded by what he's, you know, the fact that he's been found out.
Yeah.
And then it's my one of my favourite words with danger and teen. Teen and Trey turns up in the Chester, some of the early Chester mysteries, as I recall. And it's, you know, danger and, basically, yeah, danger and strife.
Ah, I am wounded in Great Dollar. With danger and teen I am bound. To me, thou give tent, paramour, and listen what I say this stound.
Yeah, to me thou give tent, listen to me, paramour. Listen to what I say. This stound.
My favourite word.
Stound turns up a lot.
In
and it's
many
our.
Different circles.
Broadly speaking, this is our. It's, so, in a sense, what we've got is a tautology coming up. Listen what I say, this stound. Yon traitor shall betray us this hour. So what you're saying is, listen what I say this hour. Yon traitor shall betray us this hour. Now, the precise meaning of stound might not... I haven't actually double-checked this. It might not literally mean hour. It might only mean hour in the context of this line somewhere else in the play. But it's sort of something to do with time.
Yeah.
You know, listen to me now. Mummy's over there preparing to leave.
Yon traitor shall betray us this hour. I tell thee, seemly on ground. Then shall we have no succour, but cares to us shall be found. Iwis...
And course, she's now a traitor.
She's a traitor. Because, of course, like all despots, we project on everyone else doing the wrong thing when we have sex
and
with our daughters.
And she shall betray us this hour. I tell thee, seemly on ground, you know, beautiful maid. It might be more flattery.
And it then...
It's like earlier when he's saying, thou art seemly to stand. So again, it's like you're trying to... Actually, yes, I'm being unfair to the script. You're saying to her, you know, I tell thee, beautiful maiden...
Oh, let me just flatter you while
I
tell you...
Yeah, while I tell you to... What he's going to do is tell her to kill mother. Because the Duke Maraud never does anything himself.
No.
He always gets somebody else, more his daughter, to do things for him. And they won't have any succour, you know, but they're just going to be overloaded with cares.
And it may never before, till yon traitor be slaw, that is so rebel in sore sorrows mote I to her kiss.
Anyway, then we have four lines. We cut the last two because we really just struggled with them and life was too short. It ended on a couplet, so we thought we'd get away with it.
I ne may never be four till yon traitor be slaw.
Till she's dead.
That is so rebel in sore sorrows mote I to her kiss.
Yes, so she that is a rebel over there, sorrows to her must come. So it's like sorrow is coming to give her a good wet smacking kiss on the mouth. Daughter then goes and kills mother. And
the Duke
is off somewhere else. And so he actually has to now ask her.
He's probably gone fishing. So he actually asks for the audience's benefit, of course.
Yeah.
Have ye now slain by thy fay the fool that did us that teen?
That terrible strife, yes. And then he's... joyously happy.
Ah!
And it's literally just a single letter A.
Now am I merry this stound that she is brought to that deed, for she should array us on ground, that ilk old shrewd queed. To sorrow she should us have found, that had been to us an evil reed.
She should have found brought us sorrow, she would have done. So you're justifying it after the deed. So the daughter could be crying, for all you know, at this
point.
She might not be happy, you're happy, and then it's like you almost turn it around and going, yeah, but she was evil.
To sorrow she should us have found, that had been to us an evil reed. In care, forsooth, is she wound. And therefore I am merry to lead and gay. Damsel, lovely of cheer, make we merry here. For care without endure is went away for aye.
And then you go back to flattery.
Damsel, lovely of cheer, make we merry here. For care without endure, which we love, is went away for aye.
Care is went away. I like that. But of course then... Again, here there must be something quite substantial missing, because the time jump, there must be something to signify the time jump that happens here. She turns up, she's got pregnant by him, she's given birth to the child before this next speech happens.
Shocker.
So the fact that you haven't noticed that your daughter has presumably got larger...
Locked her up in the tower, probably, you know, out of sight, out of mind.
And she then gives birth to a baby, and only then does she come back. I mean...
Ah, have I begotten this stound a child so lovely of thee? I am in sorrows wound, for care me must flee.
So the first thing he finds out, when he finds out there's a baby...
Self-preservation.
For care me must flee, I'm off. And then he asks to see the baby with two lines which are slightly tricky to transfer the meaning to the audience.
I pray thee, in wreaths now wound, that foot in sight, might I see?
Yeah,
because then it sets
swaddle the baby in some kind of clothing, and I might be wrong in one of the words in this sentence.
Ah.
It occurred to me the other day, when talking about babies, they often talk about food, that food I must kill. So I wonder, now, the line, I pray thee, in wreaths now wound,
that
winds some clothing round the baby. That foot in sight, might I see? Now, it could be the baby's foot, and it's sort of that's a
which
little,
we went with because that's an approximate measurement.
But it could be that food in sight, might I see?
Ah.
So she hands him the baby, calls it a bird.
I like that.
It's the fact that this first line is really affectionate—a bird, fair and bright.
It's also quite a nice image. Yeah.
Yeah. It's you know something
delicate
and. Yeah. Protective.
With devil
and then,
wings.
And then immediately the next line.
Do it out of my sight. For thought, I am near sklor.
So for thought of it, he's near dead. And we've got a lot of sklor and sklowing and sounds of bit like slaying and kill. I mean, you sklow it, you slay it.
Also sounds deliciously Scottish as well.
Sklor it and present, you know. Even though you've been going with American. And again, that is my commandment. Fast bring it of door, put it to death.
Yeah.
Lords of the land, had it thought that I had sinned by... You don't want anyone to know.
No, don't tell anyone. Tell no one. Don't know one. And then we continue.
For sorrow and care that we should drive, we should lead ever life full rive, and thereon A to B. So we go back to persuasion, don't we?
Yeah, well, we would be in lots of sorrow and care. And we would leave a life of pain and misery.
Because she's obviously looking like probably bad idea to kill baby.
If we keep the baby.
Yeah.
If we keep the baby. So you're being persuasive. You've done the commandment. You've given your reason. But also you're giving a reason for yourself, that first one for yourself.
She's clearly looking like she doesn't really want to kill her own baby.
And then you're trying to be persuasive. So we would have a terrible life of sorrow and care. And we'd have a sad life ever after. Mm-hmm. There on I to be. Therefore, I pray thee...
For thy love of me.
Oh, yeah, so nice. For the love of me. So that's the abuser. Slay it with thine hand. And, you know, again, finishing off the thought, then we'll be at peace, you know, and we'll have mirth in there, and everything will be fantastic. If you just kill the baby for me. and it's the fact that, again, it's for me. It's all about him. So, the next speech, we lose the beginning of it. It's fragmented, so we lose a bit of him. There's a line that ends, there's just one word, sing.
Which is actually really difficult to perform.
Yes. I mean, we just sort of inserted a sentence before it so he could just go, sing! But it could be blessing or something else. So, anyway, we rejoin him as he's saying how happy he is that she has murdered the baby for him.
It's actually I quite like
and
this.
That everything's great
well.
Now.
Yeah, this is actually quite nice. So,
there I sit, lovely in tower. I thank thee, lovely thing, for thy workings this hour.
And it's the thing, I sit lovely in tower. I mean, that's in his stature and his strength. But there's also a bit of a hint here, because, of course, he's going to talk about his own possessions and the money he's about to give her, or the property he's going to give her. He basically bribes his own daughter off to tell no one.
As if it wasn't bad enough that she's killed her own baby, so she's probably not going to be telling anyone anyway.
But he does bribe her off with, as
he says... For that perfect tiding, I give thee hall and bower.
Hall and home.
For thou, withouten leasing, puts me from shame and dolour.
He continues the thought. He says he's going to go off on a journey.
Into the country I will wend, there to pleat.
And pleat is travel.
Both far and hend.
And I did change again into the country. I don't know what the was in the original, but I changed that just to make it clearer. Mm. So there isn't a distortion there.
And then he continues.
So he's going travelling both far and hend.
With good deeds bound. So he's obviously trying to suggest that he's going to try and make up for what he's done.
Well, he's going to present that he is. You know, it's about appearance. So he's going to go around and present to the world that he's this wonderful person and keeping up the appearance that he's a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And then, almost as if it was a sudden thought.
There, as it cometh in my mind, for to meet with lords kind, both in field and town.
So he's been too engaged in his own affairs, as it were. He's now going to go out and meet some of the lords. And, of course, we don't know. There may have been lords within the text that are just completely missing.
Yeah.
There might be more than the family unit. I wouldn't be surprised if there weren't. actually people he meets on the way, people who interact with the family,
presumably even
who even
some
maybe
those,
ask
some
about what
happened
to the wife.
Yeah. Well, you would assume that some of those lords would be people that were there, privy to his first speech, and maybe the ones that
it could have been a ceremonial thing he was doing at the opening. It might have been some kind of ceremonial goodbye to your wife and the other people. But the thing is, with a Moriarty play, they might have been part almost of his conscience or an aspect of his own personality. In Pride of Life, the play, the King of Life in the play, has health and strength as his counsellors, and they, when they encounter death, they get killed off first, and therefore there's a symbolic quality. I don't know what symbolic quality his followers would have in a play like this, because it's so much more domestic and so much more weird. But it's not impossible. We just don't know. The sort of formal quality to him saying goodbye to his wife makes sense, because it's within a formal setting.
Yes.
It's something you're demonstrating to people that she's going away. Anyway, the next speech is almost completely lost, and we're just going to work our way through the text as it survives. And I'll talk through what I sort of put in its place, but you get a certain sense of how it's going. Basically, he's saying goodbye. He's going on his journey.
Betide me good.
Gap. Could be going anywhere.
Into country.
Gap. So we know he's going on a journey, so he's presumably... The sentence would continue, he's going off.
But I pray thee, this hour, my dear...
Gap.
Paramour.
And then there's a line missing. His next line?
I shall know more that...
And it might be, I shall know more that I'll be around, or it may be, I shall no more be involved. It might even be that there's a certain amount of contrition, that he's fleeing, that actually he's actively going on a journey to become a better person, that maybe there's a early stage of remorse going on here, that he only really hits remorse when he gets to the church, and that's coming up later. Anyway, another line that sort of doesn't really go anywhere, but
certes I shall fond without,
and again we don't know, so he's for certes I shall, it could be fond, I shall find, maybe. We really don't know where that part is going. It gets a bit more straightforward at the end of this, which is a straightforward goodbye, which is very similar to his goodbye to his wife earlier.
We get that wonderful word again. Have good day, Werlich White.
Now, I should point out, have good day, that's slightly extrapolated. It's extrapolated from the next line, but the beginning of that line is actually lost. But it seemed a reasonable proposition that it's a repeated phrase. Go from have good day, Werlich, beautiful, white, beautiful person, so, Werlich White.
Have good day, Werlich White. Have good day, lovely in light. Pa...
This literally is par, P-A-R. And then there's
off.
A gap. So it seemed reasonable that it's completing the word paramour, which we did as.
Who is seemly in sight.
Yes. And then all we have is next line.
Comely.
And that's it. And we worked on the assumption it was a goodbye. It was a fairly amorous goodbye. So, you know, have good day, paramour, seemly in sight. Because the next speech is very odd. You hated this speech.
I did, and then I came to really
enjoy it. And then he came to love it.
It
loves the alliteration. There's so much alliteration. It bounces words after words after words. And
where we've played it as well is someone actively losing their mind a little bit. That's like obviously being careworn.
Because it could be played as character coming on and delivering in quite a straightforward way, I'm a great person. Because broadly speaking, that's what this is. It's like it's a declaration of intent that I am this great person. Like at the beginning of the play, I am Mike Flamery, etc. And he comes on and he's a wonderful person. It might, however, be that he's trying to convince himself of this fact. And that's how we're playing it. And that there's a little more psychology going here. That there is a build-up to his redemption as it comes. But we can't be absolutely certain. Let's just rattle through this because it's... Lots of alliteration as he says wonderful things about himself.
I am mightful and merry, marked in mind. I am flower fairest by fruit for to fair. I am fairest in face, fearly to find.
Wonderful to find. Lots of F's there.
Beautiful.
I am lovelick in land, lightest in lair.
So I'm lovely in land, lightest in wit.
I am comely and courteous and crafty of kind. I am comely, casting from knots of care.
That's interesting. I'm comely, cast from knots of care. So it's like, now that he's left his home, he's left behind his troubles.
And again, we've got this winding imagery again. Yes. Again.
And of course, we don't know the context. At the moment, we're playing it like he's just wandering around saying this to himself. He could be saying this to someone. You are lordly. We go to the elves now.
I am lordly to Lekken, light underlined.
So, lordly to play light under lime tree. So, you're playing under tree.
And then
you're the sod of a line.
Here's the Linus Horribilis. I am seemly to sitten, sittus so sair.
So, it's a torturous meaning, this one. He's able to endure cares so sore, seats so sore. Mm.
Oh,
as
or
performed.
Horseback, of course. Maybe riding. I'm able to go on a long journey.
I think by God he's got it.
Professor Nader.
It only took us a month and a half to hit
the
this
last
point.
Night of the production.
I am seemly to sit and seat so sore. Mm. Sit is so sore.
Because he's seemly and steed.
Yeah, because we've had seemly and steed earlier. You've cracked it. It's a pity it's the final night.
Isn't that?
And then you end with, so I will press me in pride.
So
and
I'll keep going.
We've played with that as being he's pushing his pride back in, and that he's going to keep going with this formal front that he's got. But it's a tricksy speech.
Yeah.
Four more lines which follow.
Which really,
again, this is about people seeing him again.
It's almost like he's kind of talked himself back as well. So
he's talked himself back into presenting himself to the world. It's almost like he's had a crisis of confidence and he's had to talk himself into.
When all the lords of this land are gathered together.
Or in fear, which is the original, but together is the modern equivalent.
I am flower of them all, without and dweir.
Without and doubt.
And else I were woxen of blames right here.
And else I were to... Woxen is again, slightly torturous. Grown or become of blames right here. So, else I were labelled of blame of the things I've done. You know, else other people find out. But your appearance belies your evil intent.
Absolutely, but I be royal in array for to ride.
And in the original, it's reis, reis. I thought a ray made more sense. I think you might have suggested a ray. It's literally, it's something to do with strips of cloth and how you're presented, I think, possibly on a horse. So then the spells of a church ring.
Mm-hmm. Ah, now I hear. Bong.
Yeah, no, we'll take the bells as read, thank you.
A bell ringeth full near hither in the kirk.
So it's the fact that you are explaining where you are and what you're doing. So, you know, they don't need... I mean, they may have used the actual church bells. I mean, it's highly probable that it would have been performed within, you know, distance of the church. It might have been outside the church. It may even have been inside the church.
Or even a much man more with a bell.
Might have been. They hear... And it's this sudden moment of change. Having heard the bells...
Thither I will fare, for I am in great care. There some good deed to work.
Now, is that an extension of his going out to demonstrate good deeds?
I see it as like, I'm going to go to the church, like some good deed to work through, almost, would be the missing word.
Well,
I'm going to go and sit and solace and
I say it might be, if he hasn't actually... If he's still doing this whole thing of presenting himself as a good person, mm-hmm. he might be going there to just bung him some money.
That's interesting, yeah.
We've not considered that.
Mm.
And it's only actually when he gets into the church. The notes I've got from the original suggest that actually he hears the bells, he goes into the church, he comes out of the church, then he meets the priest. I thought that was all a bit complicated and fiddly. I think actually all he needs to do is we've got him just seeing the church in the distance and then, you know, he's heard the bells, he then sees the church, he repents a bit. And knows he needs to find a priest. It's all the precise stage dynamics of this is a bit fiddly.
But of course, the main thing being, of course, the religion, of course, being a morality play has brought him back.
Yes, he is now being drawn back. So he's been drawn by the sound of the bells. Maybe what he's going there for the wrong reason. Maybe not.
And again, though, this is actually quite a nice speech to play. There's a lot of thought, which is very nice to do.
Because actually, having found the church, he immediately realises what a sinful caitiff he is, which is literally the first line.
Very good.
Sin is used twice in the first two lines.
I shall therefore start with the second line. Sinfully, I have wrought blame by great time of my life.
Yes, in the original it's be great time of my life. It's and even by isn't very satisfactory. It's not a satisfactory sentence, and we've never really found a way of making that better. But we'd live with it.
Yeah.
So there might be that there is a more appropriate word to be used there.
But the thought's the same, isn't it?
It just doesn't scan in a modern sense.
No. Now, Christ, hast thou me bought? Forgive me that blame that I have wrought, and make me somewhat blithe.
Make me somewhat happy. And again, it's a repeated thing. Christ, who has me bought. There's similar lines, actually, in a lot of morality plays. There's a very similar line in Every Man. Very similar. So this is a sentiment you will hear in other plays.
For in this world may be none that ever took life with flesh and bone that have it so great blame.
So there's no one in the world as bad as you. And frankly, actually, you're not far wrong, really.
And, you know, it's funny. The first few rehearsals, I'd taken that ever took life with flesh and bone to be actually killing someone. But then we realised actually...
Yeah, being alive. Flesh and just bone, straightforward being that ever was alive.
Which is actually a beautiful way to say alive. Yeah.
And then we hit the butt. You need his help.
But I have grace and help of thee.
Are you God?
I am lost for thee so free, in hell to be by name.
So he's acknowledged that if he doesn't do something, he's going to hell.
A priest now me must have, if I shall be saved. Againest Christ of might, to tell him my blame, that I have wrought by name, that is my thought now tight today.
And now, againest Christ of might. Againest is one of these words that seems to have a sentence-long explanation. In the sight of Christ of might. There doesn't seem to be a modern equivalent, so we've left it as is, and it's just a bit torturous, and unless there's a more obvious trend, you know, again, Christ of might doesn't seem to make much more sense, so we've sort of run with it.
Jesu, heaven flower, put me from duller, which we in the play rhyme as dullower, and give me grace this hour, a priest to have, I say.
He calls on Christ to give him a priest, and as if by magic, a priest approaches. And he confesses to this priest. And this is... He basically repeats everything that's happened in the play, except he does some of it slightly out of order, but that's fine.
Well, he is in great care, of course. Yeah. Ah, blessed be thou, that thou come today to hear my deadly sin. Whilst we are together...
Whilst we are in fear...
I will shrive me here, for now will I begin. I have led my life in sorrow and in strife, with cursedness and care, yet is more in my thought.
And that's nice, is the fact that he's acknowledging who he is, and he's sort of done a vague introduction. I've been a bad person.
And the priest is probably about to say...
There's more.
And the priest is probably about to say, don't worry, old son, which is...
Yeah, and he jumps straight in. No, it's worse than that. It's worse.
And boy, is it worse.
Yet is more in my thought.
Sins I have wrought... by my daughter in Lair.
Now in the footnotes of the edition we're working from, in Lair is at my instruction. So since I've wrought by my daughter at my instigation.
Of course, most people will hear it as daughter-in-law now, yeah.
Which slightly ruins the incest theme for me. I was resistant.
It's not as juicy,
it's not as deeply evil as you know, it's all a bit Woody Allen. So it's less of a different thing. But, you know, there's part of me that's not actually deeply convinced by that. That feels like the kind of footnote that someone's put in and it doesn't quite work.
It could actually be someone...
It could be daughter-in-law. It could
be
daughter-in-law.
It could be someone imposing morality on the morality play, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I don't see... Because we've got Lair. We could also be Lear. Mm. But we've got Lair somewhere else. I noticed that earlier. Lightest in Lair. So lovely in... light in wit. So daughter in wit... doesn't quite, but daughter-in-law, it does feel like maybe someone's trying too hard. Anyway.
And child she bore by me, which was fair and free.
And I change which from something else just to make the tenses better.
Both in body and face, and I might never before.
Glad.
Till we had him sclore.
Kill. So he confesses to having the baby killed at his instigation.
And obviously the priest is reacting or something.
And the next line,
I say the true case.
I say the sooth case, which sooth, truth, it's very similar. I changed it to true, just, I can't remember why, actually. I'm kind of looking back
it's
going,
easier
sooth,
to say, I think, wasn't
sooth
it?
Sooth is perfectly acceptable. Say that nicely, please.
I say the sooth case.
I say the true case. It does have a bit more weight doing it that way. I think that's why we went for it, even though it's not accurate. And now, again, it's like he's had this little pause, and then, there's more.
Yet more I will tell now. My wife there, she sclow.
Killed. So my wife there, she... my daughter killed my wife.
I do like a sclow and sclow. And
yeah, they're nice. They're just meaty sounds.
It just makes you think of skulls as well.
Yeah.
And sclowing in, which is brilliant.
And then my favourite word, which is almost a modern word, which I really like.
Through urgement, of me.
Is urgement a word?
I don't know if it feels like it should be. I don't think urging. We would say.
Yeah, yeah. So through urgement.
I'm
going to
use it more in conversation.
It's great. I mean, I put a footnote. Incitement.
Robert is having a coffee through urgement of me.
Yes, there will be some much urgement to drink later.
Go on, have a beer.
And so then he gets to the final point. He knows he's screwed.
And thus is my life spent. Lord Omnipotent, grant me my sins to flee.
The priest gives him redemption. He just, he's
confessed. Sorry. Of course.
He said sorry, and this immediately responds. Duke does a three-line happy, happy response to be redeemed.
Which isn't...
He's not very humble, is he?
No, isn't so humble. No. So it's kind of like off the hook again here.
I will blithely, my dear friend.
Do penance both far and hend.
Both far and near.
To save my soul from wrath.
Yeah. So he's going to do penance, but he does come out as la 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 la.
Of course, whether or not he does do the penance would be a moot point after what happens in a minute.
Yes, so he goes back to his daughter and he says hello. And there's a couple of interesting words in here. So give us his hello back to his daughter. Now he's repented.
Hail, daughter, lovely of sight.
Lovely of sight, pretty much the same level of earlier of...
Don't you look nice?
Yes.
Or, of course, probably so slightly contrite now.
Doesn't sound desperately. Yeah, yeah. But the next one is a very interesting word.
Hail, lovely, leavened today.
And the footnote I've got says it's creature. Lovely creature. Which is not quite as nice. Even though the word sounds quite nice. Leavened is... And then, of course, he mentions God.
Christ that is mighty in might.
He's mighty in might.
Yeah. He's not got mighty of might.
He's mighty in might.
Oh,
he's got
much
mighty.
Save thee evermore and a, although...
Evermore has been updated from ermore, which is presumably a contraction. So ermore rather than evermore. But we did evermore because evermore is a modern word and it didn't really...
I think you thought, again, that would just stop people feeling confused.
I thought that it's so close a word. Yeah. And I made the compromise. Yeah. So anyway... Daughter says something to him, probably along the lines of, let's have sex, please. And he immediately refuses her with repetition again.
Let be, my daughter dear. Let be, lovely in Lear. More flattery.
Yeah. But it's again, let be. It's two let be's. Stay away.
I have forsaken here my blame and my sin.
I like that. I've forsaken my blame.
Yeah.
That's just so selfish. Anyway.
My sin? I have forsaken.
So everything we did, so it's all gone.
It's all bad, yeah. I've said sorry, and you should too.
Yeah.
And to penance I have me take for that wicked rake. Now is time to blin.
Now is time to end. I'm ending all that. There's a full stop.
And therefore I pray thee, certes, with heart free.
And therefore I pray thee, certainly, with heart free.
That thou make not me to fall in no more blame.
That you, daughter, don't make me sin again.
I'm weak and you tempt me. It's all your fault, of course.
And it's
so
typical
pretty.
Victim blaming by a man who's Absolutely. Been abusing his daughter. And this is where it's really very difficult to take this play and do it without a distancing effect. The reason why we didn't write other dialogue for this play, for this production, was the fact that when you... dig down into it, it's deeply misogynist.
Yeah, quite unpleasant. Like the time.
And you can, if it were a complete play and it came to us as that script, we might say, okay, this is the distance, this is a play which is problematic, we will stage it. I'm not going to enable this play by writing the rest of the dialogue for it. I'm going to write dialogue where I make the point about what this play is and make it clear to the audience that we do not support it.
I mean, a psychologist would have a field day with this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, I mean, implicitly and at times explicitly, it is deeply patriarchal.
He needs to
not very comfortable.
He needs to own his own sin, frankly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, that's been our choice all the way through. I mean, with this, because the play does not survive, we just couldn't do anything more than that. Anyway, having blamed her and said not to tempt him anymore, he then takes away. Everything that he bribed her with earlier to keep her silent.
Now will I do away my treasures rich and gay. He does like to show, doesn't he, things?
Mm.
And travelling, I will a for my wicked fame.
So he's now going to presumably go on a pilgrimage and travel and you know, hair shirt and do the full...
Yeah.
Again, it's very demonstrative. But anyway, so she then attacks him and wounds him with a mortal wound to the face, which is what we get. So we know how she kills him.
And it's interesting, but,
however, having
well.
Killed him, he still gets, like the best opera singers, he gets a speech at the end to talk his way through his death.
Now my life will pass from me this ilk stound. I am smitten in the face with careful strokes and round.
So, yeah, so he's basically explaining what's just happened to him, which is helpful for us, but a bit obvious. Anyway, and then he turns to God.
Jesus, full of grace, will forgive this trespass.
And we did change the will from something else, just to make it so it's Jesus, so that he's talking to her rather than Jesus, saying, God will forgive you, dear, for the sin you have done killing me. Which, coming from the fact it's coming from you, is actually, again...
quite rich.
It's quite difficult to take.
That thou hast done to me, and give thee grace to blin...
to end...
of that wicked sin which thou hast done so free.
And again, the which I think we changed as well. Mm. The sin that thou hast done so free.
Possibly God. By urgement of the Duke, really.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that...
oh, please, have sex with me.
You know, but basically he's blaming her for her sins. Broadly speaking... it's victim blaming, and it's really unpleasant. Luckily, of course, he's now going to die.
My time comest fast too, that I shall pass you through in other place to dwell, which I do like.
Yes,
do
off like he's that. Going to. Yeah, he's going. He's
hell
going,
or heaven, possibly.
Well, broadly speaking, we expect heaven.
Even though, of course, it should be hell, but you know, who are we to quibble? In manus tuas, Domine, Jesu, have mercy on me. And save my soul from hell. That was my death rattle.
And then he dies. Yeah. We know that in the original story, the story continues with the daughter. And so we don't know whether this is the logical end point of the play or the sort of midpoint. We've got about 10 minutes of text. We can assume with an equal amount plus. We don't know. It might end here and she simply redeems over his debt, you know, repents over it. Or she goes to hell. There's no reason why she can't go to hell. He goes to heaven because he repented and she goes to hell because she's evil.
Yeah, because we have no idea if she repents or not. Yeah.
We don't know how closely the two sort of, the two pieces follow each other or whatever. It depends on what the actual intention of the original author was. But that was Duke Maraud and... we don't know if anyone has ever performed this play in modern times. I wouldn't be surprised if some university students has done something with this. But otherwise, as far as we know, Simon is the first person to be doing these words
Which feels rather smug, actually.
We're not saying that any of our conclusions are absolute. The point of this process and the recordings that we're putting out online is to explore these texts and to encourage other people to have a crack. There should hopefully be two other recordings to accompany this. One is a straightforward recording of the text... a relatively clean received pronunciation recording. We're not even attempting to do original pronunciation with the basic plot overview. And then there is hopefully a decent recording of the live show, which is which will also exist to get a sense of what we did with it and a sense that you can play around with plays like this, even though they haven't been performed for a long time. They are a bit weird. You can do whatever you like with them, frankly. And you should ignore or... follow what we've done, but please do explore these plays. They do bring up interesting questions.
It's a piece of art somebody has created for some reason, and therefore, as some of it exists, it's like exhibiting unfinished Turner paintings. Of course, if you go to the Tate, there are many of those, the unfinished works. Just because they're unfinished or incomplete doesn't mean you can't still admire the bits you can see or, in this case, hear.
And I say, we managed to carve out a half-an-hour show. Admittedly, we distorted some of the meanings, but we were able to present these... to some success. I think the audiences liked it.
And had fun, which is the most important thing.
Had more fun than I think the original audience would have done.
Certainly.
There is a real... I do get the sense that the original playwright here really got into the fact that he was doing horrible things and was able to stage horrible things. And
it was
actually that got a bit... Yeah, well, it's a bit like, you know, Richard III. You know, you get the impression Shakespeare just got a bit carried away with this character that took on a life of its own and there was a bit too much enjoyment in doing horrible, horrible things, and that maybe this is a moral play that went wrong.
He's the Tarantino of his age.
Yeah, because it does happen, you know, and sometimes plays get away from you. And
and on that note,
I've been Robert Crichton.
And I've been Simon Nader.
Thank you very much. This is a Before Shakespeare audio production, and we hope you've enjoyed it. It's interesting, you actually come across more of a bastard now that you're doing that really, really...
Now I'm Richard III.
No, because actually you sound sincere, but of course you're not.
Yeah.
And actually, or you're sort of already thinking ahead of, you know, save me from the wicked thoughts that I'm about to actually do.
I was actually.
Yeah.
That
it's, that's really, it's sort of this strange thing, it's sort of...